Praise
Blog
the Lord.
Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good morning. Glorious, glorious day that the Lord has made. What if he made this day and he did not allow us to enjoy it? We have so much to be grateful for and to thank him for. We have so much to praise him for. We have so much we are blessed for. We don't really have time to grumble. We can be as the angels, just saying, holy, holy, holy. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we should be glad in it because he lets us enjoy it. He lets us see it. He lets us experience him in this day. We thank him and we praise him that he thought us worthy to die for. And just as he thought us worthy to die for, to save us so that we could be whole, it is our sincere and humble desire to bring honor to him, to glorify his name in our life and in the lives of those around us. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome this morning to Words from the Word. We are a ministry of the LFC specialists that are on the line, on the airways, claiming them for the kingdom of the living God. We are under the direction, under the founder and the visionary of Dr. Apostle Seanette Harden from Laborers for Christ Word Life Ministries. You can find more about us on www.laborers-for-christ.org. That's LABOURES-FOR-CHRIST.org. Praise the Lord. Find out about the move of the ministry, the vision of the apostle, and the work of the saints. For the saints are busy here at Laborers for Christ. We are serious about the Great Commission. Glory to God. We are not only serious, we are so humbled by the fact that God gave us purpose and position in his kingdom so that his will could be done on earth as it is in heaven. Welcome this morning to our callers. We are grateful that you have come to share with us this morning. We pray that you've done your homework and you're prepared to share that with us. All of the lines are open. You're live, and you just need to take your phone off speaker when you are ready to share and interact with us. We love the dialogue in the morning, and we want to encourage it from our listeners. Now, this week, we will be looking at the fruit of the Spirit, peace, and its impact on the first church. At the time of a great persecution, they had peace. How could this be? We wanted to look at that factor, the driving factor of this spiritual discipline, and as our references, we're using a Gardner's Look at the Fruit of the Spirit by Philip Keller and Spiritual Discipline Handbook by Adele Calhoun. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We had looked at peace some time ago when we were looking at the next seven sayings of Christ after the resurrection. And we know that when he appeared to his followers, he answered some very devastating, life-threatening questions and situations that they had. And he dealt with them physically and professionally. He dealt with them spiritually, and he dealt with them emotionally. So his strategy, his love, required him to look at all aspects of his disciples. And we're asked to do that as well. And I believe that this spiritual discipline of the ministry of one another is one of the tools, one of the weapons, one of the equipping powers that was given to the first church. And that's why the church was strong and it was strengthened daily and it grew. And so we want to be able to make sure we become a part of that strengthening of the church and that growth and development of the church and the church members. We want to make sure that we have not become so caught up in the fact that we were worth dying for that we forget they were worth dying for as well. And so that ministry of one another involves all of us. All of us in the family of the living God, in the kingdom of the Our Father. All of the things that our Savior did as he walked with the disciples was teaching them how to live in fellowship with first God, then themselves, and then one another. There's a pattern going here. That was what he addressed when he came back after his resurrection. That is also what the fruit of the Spirit addressed. That's what the Ten Commandments addressed. Our relationship first with God, our relationship with ourselves, and our relationship with others. And so we wanted to look at the fruit of the Spirit and kind of see, is there a pattern in the nine fruits? So just as a review, we had already talked about love and love being the baseline or the very evident element in all of the fruit. And it does say the fruit of the Spirit, indicating one. And in the book of Philip Keller, what he does is give us an illustration of a bundle of grapes. So it's one fruit off the vine, a bundle of grapes. And in that bundle of grapes, you may have some grapes that are sour, some that are shriveled, some that are discolored, some are even rotten, some are sweet, some are very, very plump. And some are natural. You have quite a variety of individual fruit on that bunch of grapes. And he's saying that he relates that to the fruit of the Spirit and the bunch of grapes, the bunch itself, all being having love, all having love, which is the parallel that we get in Scripture from Galatians 5 and 22 and 23 and 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7, what love is, and then each member of the fruit of the Spirit. And so we want to see it as one fruit, but having at least nine characteristics. And these characteristics, these elements, what are these elements focused to and what do they represent? And so anybody have Galatians 5 and 22 and 23? We just want to read it to get ourselves updated with it this morning. Caller on the line. Okay.
Good morning. You said Galatians 5 and 22?
Yes. Galatians, yes, 5, 22 and 23. Yes.
Okay. But the fruit, this is the Any particular translation you want to hear? Message, NIV, Amplified, or King James?
Let's hear the Amplified.
Amplified, verse 22. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence... Excuse me?
No, go ahead.
Okay, 22. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes, is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness. And the 23rd verse reads, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such things there is no law that can bring a charge. So that's the...
Amen.
That's
Amen.
The...
Amplified.
Now, if you let me read it in the message, if you would.
Absolutely.
Okay. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments. The 23rd verse reads, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Legalism is helpless in bringing this about. It only gets in the way.
Amen. Amen. It would be really interesting to see actually list the fruit of the Spirit as it's presented in the Message Bible. But in speaking of the love, and we're just doing a little review before we get to the peace. One of the things that was presented, the fact that God grants what's within him in us, and that the source of this love is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in us. And as Holy Spirit is poured in us, that love is as prevalent as God's presence in our life is. And so the very foundational functioning of fruit and production of fruit definitely dependent on the presence of God in our life. And that love is explained as a selflessness, and how this is the source of the power between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I love that portion. I probably share it every week, where we are told that earthmen can barely conceive of a relationship that is so sublime that it contains no trace of self-assertion, no ulterior motive, no self-gratification. But that is the secret to the strength of God. Here was demonstrated irresistible force of utter selflessness in the total giving of each to the other, in profound caring for one another, laying the love of all eternity. This was the love at its highest level. This was love at its loftiest source. This was love, the primal source of all energy. And that it is that energy that energizes, it is that love source that energizes the cosmos. So in other words, love makes the world go round and makes the universe goes around as well. Love is basic. Love is without a counterfeit. Love is obviously without a substitute. And because love is God, and it is God in us. And that power of Babylon, that power of, not Babylon, but the Tower of Babel, that power of the Day of Pentecost, was that kind of self, no trace of self-assertion, no ulterior motive, nor self-gratification. They were on one accord, that one another had one heart, one mind, and that mind was toward God. And because of it, that power exploded. And that's what we want. We want an explosion of love in our lives and in our life relationships, in our life relationships. Anybody else have anything to add on the gift of love? Then we went to joy, and there is so much more to look at when we look at love. And one of the instances or measurements, if you will, and we're going to take an evaluation a little later on in the month, but we looked at the How do we measure up against the one another? Because that was the basis of the power of the first church, their mindset towards each other. And so we kind of went down a list last week, and we checked off those things that in this list of one another that we felt was lacking in our relationship with our group of one another. And so, one of the things I think that the enemy would like to condemn us, you know, because, you know, we did definitely fall short numerous times. But it wasn't because of the people, because you would think, okay, you know, it's the people and da 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 da. But as we're learning, it's not the people, but it's the presence of God in our life. And us, as the spiritual discipline book, is practicing that presence of God. And practicing that presence of God is actually having faith in Him, is trusting Him, is believing Him, because that would motivate His presence, actually motivates that in our life. And so where we fall short with others, and we want to look at the ones that we fell short with, is it to God, is it to ourselves, or is it to others? And so that we can see the correction the Holy Spirit is giving us in walking in a fruitful garden and allowing our garden to be fruitful. And so the next fruit was the fruit of joy. We talked about joy is a divine dimension of living, not shackled by circumstances. Joy springs up from the presence of God in a person's life. It is a sweet satisfaction in all that God does. I had one definition years and years ago, was joy was being totally satisfied with the way God handled my life. And that is a place that He brings us as He presents Himself with us, because we then learn that He does. Yes.
Can you expound on that definition for joy, please?
Joy is being totally satisfied with the way God handles my life. First is knowing that my life is in His hands and no one else's. And so, and remember, joy is not a matter of circumstances, but it is an actual dimension of where you live. And so if we live in a place where we are enjoying the presence of the Lord. One of the ways for our soil to be for our soil to be maintained and allow the gardener to properly handle our soil, it said that we had to acknowledge that first that God, you are very God. You know exactly what you are doing with me, and it is for my best, and all is well. And then the next thing was accept his management. Herein lies peace and rest. No longer will I resist or resent your work in my life. You are the good gardener. And then the third was approve of Christ's arrangement of your affairs. It is your intention that I should become fruitful. Under your good hand, this will happen. So thank you. You know, it says in all of our prayers and supplications, come with thanksgiving. Know that it's me, and you can trust me, and you love me because I love you. You learned my presence. You've experienced my presence. So now that dimension I am now living in is not subject to my circumstances as much as it is subject to his presence. And his presence brings about his character traits in my life, managing and doing with my life what he wants to be done. Because he says, I know the plan that I have for you. I'll make all things work out to the good for those that love them. All of these scriptures and all of these promises that he gives us relate to his management of our life. And so if we're satisfied with the way he manages it, even in the middle of huge tragic circumstances, but having a dimension of living where it is well, then and that's what Paul said. And so that's that being just totally satisfied with the way God would do it. It's like, you know what? I couldn't think of a better way. Now, I could think of my way, but I have learned my way is not the better way, and I've come to understand that God's way is the best way because his way is first birthed out of love. He will not withhold any good thing from me, and that has to be a dimension I live in, not the circumstances I'm experiencing. And the fact that, you know, okay, what do you, that's just like, you know, and I know some people say, you know, no, you know, it's not any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. But honestly, yeah, because only he knows how to satisfy my longings. Only he knows how to satisfy my soul. And so there may be a physical or flesh gratification I'm seeking. Well, that's not what's always best for me. Nor is it always gratifying. And I think most of the things that we've sought out in life have not pleased us. It has not satisfied us. It has not fulfilled us. It has not brought comfort or peace or joy or anything to us unless it was centered in God. And so it's like, you know what? I've come to understand that I like the way God manages the business of my life. You know, it doesn't matter what it looks like. He's in charge. And if he's in charge, I mean, he's the one that's got it all, knows it all, been everywhere. He's it. And if he's it and I'm in him, it was one of, I can't remember now what happened. Oh, it was about Daniel in the lion's den, and somebody was reading it. And so it was saying, you know, that Daniel then became subject to the lion. And my thought was, yeah, but the lion is subject to God. He can't do something if God don't let him do it. And Daniel knew that. And so even though we'll say, you know, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, do we really believe that? You know, these have to go from being cliches to being a dimension of that glory to glory to glory. And there does come a place. It was a vision I saw at the consecration where the young boys were leaping over and that their feet were pushing up on the heads of things that was trying to get them, and they were leaping up over them by stepping on them. And it's like those things can never reach those young men again because they leaped from it. They've gone from glory to glory. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful to see how we in the spirit realm really are transformed from the power of the natural and become subject to the power and the working of the kingdom of God. And so, you know, we talk about it and we talk about the mountains. You know, the kingdom of God is not in labors for Christ on Sunday morning. No. You know, I don't even think we understand. Where is the kingdom of God? Where is it? If someone were to ask you, and we got callers on the line, that's a question I would like everybody to answer. Where would you say the kingdom of God is? Anybody? Apostle, bishop, elder. Hello? Apostle?
I'm here.
What was the question?
Ma'am?
What was the question?
Where would you say the kingdom of God is? Where is it?
I would say we are the kingdom of God.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay.
We are the kingdom, and we're here on earth.
Okay, we definitely are here on earth. Absolutely. 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 So there's some truth that we know and we repeat, but we haven't entirely or completely embraced them so that they become, and this is an embracing that melted into you, you know, osmosis, maybe that's the term that I'm thinking of. You know, once you become in contact with it, then, and you embrace it, then it becomes a part of you. And this is that going from glory to glory to glory. So this is that joy of being totally satisfied with what God does with my life. Does that kind of expound on it for you, Apostle?
Amen over here.
Why are you laughing?
Because actually I'm trying to come up with an answer for, well, you without a doubt answered my question, but then I was trying to come up with the answer for the kingdom of God, and reflecting on previous conversation, how the importance of scripture was needed. And I was trying to recall where the scripture was in Luke so that I could give an answer that was attached with scripture.
Amen. Amen. Well, we let Apostle continue that person. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, and so
there is out of Luke 17:20-21, when Jesus said, "See here or see there, the kingdom of God is within you." So it may not be that easy to come up with answers on demand.
Amen, amen, amen. So, all right. But you notice he says, "See here. See there," okay, the kingdom of God is in you. So, you know, we have to think about, so what does the kingdom of God look like to the world? What do we look like to the world? And in the first church, they look pretty impressive. Because the world was so impressed with them, they either wanted to kill them dead or they wanted to become a part of it. And so even though they had this awesome growth and development, they also had this gigantic persecution. And yet, in this gigantic persecution, they had peace. Because they had stepped over the heads. They had gone beyond You know, they didn't the enemy didn't understand. You know, how can Stephen look happy and we're killing him? That was just beyond them. But that's what Saul saw when they were stoning Stephen. You know, they saw him smiling. How can you be in the midst of this kind of these circumstances and you're smiling? That's because he had the joy of the Lord. He was totally satisfied with the way the Lord was handling his life. His life was being used for God's glory because it was touching Saul, and it was touching one of the greatest biblical writers, you know, of all time. That's what his life was used for, or his death, or his circumstances in suffering. And he was totally okay with that because the only thing that mattered was one another. He didn't have an ulterior motive. No, I want to raise my kids. I want to see my grandkids or whatever. You know, I just want to live longer or whatever, whatever. He didn't have any of those. He was selflessness. It was his total selflessness that caused him to reflect the way he did. And that's what happens in the kingdom of God. That's what happens within us. And when people see that, it infuriates them. It says love is self-giving, self-sharing, self-sacrificing, self-losing, self-abandonment, and self-serving others. And self-sacrifice, I was listening to the news, and there was a couple who had lost their son in one of the wars we have or something. And they asked Donald Trump, what had he sacrificed for the country? And he said, you know, he sent arms over there, he sent guns, he's done, the TV panned back to the mother's face, and she said, that's a sacrifice. And it's like, what do we call a sacrifice? They sacrificed their son's life. And you're talking about you went over there and sold them guns, and you call that a sacrifice. You know, well, obviously that's got a self-motivation all over it for anybody, and I'm not just, focusing on him, but because I saw her face, and she's saying, and that was a sacrifice. You know, and so what is our self-sacrificing? Some of the things that we say we're sacrificing, we're not sacrificing. But first of all, some of them, they're not ours to begin with. So they don't belong to us. Now, we may not want to give them up. I think Apostle spoke on this. They're investments in our lives. They're not our money. Actually, it's God's investment in us because of Jesus Christ. And then we have the gall sometimes to, you know, not want to allow it to be expended on his behalf, because we have an agenda. We have our hopes and our dreams. No, we have to have his will be done on earth. Even Christ had to have his will being done on earth. And so it is a sacrifice that we have to make that is rooted out of that kind of love. Because it is such a pure love, it doesn't worry, it doesn't concern itself with the loss of anything. That was one of the keys that Paul wrote about. He said, I count everything as dung. That's, you know, totally worthless stuff, you know, just for the kingdom. You know, I don't care my learning, my this, my that, my whatever it is, it's nothing in comparison to the kingdom. And that's having that's having the joy of the Lord. And so in that joy, and it's also peace, because that's another thing that Paul author wrote about when you said, you know, he is content in whatever state he's in. So whatever dimension he finds himself in, it's okay with him. It says in our study, it says peace is the selfless, self-giving, self-losing, self-forgetting, self-sacrifice, love of God in repose despite all the adverse reversals in life. It is love standing serene, strong, and stable in spite of every insult, every hate, and every antagonism. And that's what Christ did. No matter what they did, he had a peace, and he stood strong, stable, and quiet. And that's part of what peace brings to us, and it's definitely the peace that he gave us, because he said, my peace I give to you. And so this is a peace in the spirit and soul of persons so imbued with the presence of God's gracious spirit that they are not easily provoked. They are not touchy. They are not irritable or easily enraged. Their pride is not easily pricked. They do not live like a bustling porcupine with all its quills extended in agitated self-defense. Peace is actually the exact opposite. It is the quiet, potent, gracious attitude of serenity and goodwill that comes to meet the onset of every other situation and circumstances in our life. And so that's the outlook that we have of peace. So, input, insight, lines are open. Okay, we have a quiet morning here. All right, quiet morning.
Good morning, Overseer. One of the things in looking at Keller, the whole idea when he talks about that peace is an expression of God's love, that he comes, that any time the scripture mentions any interaction, it's always an interaction in peace, that he comes in peace. It's never but like a self-defense, like you just said when you were giving some of the characteristics of love. One of the other things that in looking at that, and Jesus being a man of peace, the whole idea that the peace is transformative, that when we have that confidence that God is working all things out for us, when we have that assurance, you know, so we're kind of settled in the joy of the Lord, like regardless of what comes. I think you said that it's not just repose, it's not just being passive, but actually even in the face of something, being able to stand with calm, the assuredness, you know, that we can still not meet wrong for wrong, or, you know, even if we feel that we're justified, or those kinds of things, that we still need to be able to stand in peace. And at the point that we align our behavior with the Word of God, Keller talks about it as energizing, then, you know, then he energizes all of our activities. You know, when we align ourselves with His Word, you know, for the particular situation. So I think the whole idea of peace, that we live in a society that is so self-promoting. You know, how dare you insult me? How dare you say something? You know, and if I don't co-sign with what you say, then there's a label for me. You know, those kinds of things. And we don't even think about taking one for the team, so to speak. You know, but as peacemakers, we do it, and we do it with the assurance that not only that God has our back, but that we're walking in spirit and in truth as well. You know, but it's only expressed in God's love through love. You know, we can't manufacture it, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Amen, amen. You know, and I believe that as we go through these spirits, the fruit of the spirit, what we're going to see is not just the character of God, but we're going to actually, I want to say, experience the power of that character overcoming those things that have tortured us and hindered us. And we prayed about, you know, and the answer is, you know, who would have thought I just needed to pray for, you know, a fruit, you know, which is a nice thing because the fruit is given to us as we abide in the vine, and which I thought was interesting, and the fact that, and so we have a question about that pruning. Anybody ready to answer that question from last week?
Well, I looked the word up, and I still wasn't quite I have a thought on it, but I looked the definition up for it. The it only appeared once, I believe, in the word, and then it talked about something else. But it means to trim, to cut off, or remove dead or living part of branches of a plant, a shrub, or a tree. To improve shape or growth, to reduce, to remove branches or parts from a plant. So as I was thinking about it after I read that, I thought about God, how he prunes us and he cuts off as we grow in him and mature in him. He cuts off the dead things or he eliminates the dead things, if I can say it in that manner. He removes that which he can't use from our lives. He shapes us. He improves our spiritual being as we become more intimate with him. So that's how I looked at the pruning. Because
Do you have the scripture? Does someone have the scripture?
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't write. Wait a minute. What did I do with it? I can't remember. Is it John 15:1-5? I think it's John 15:1-5. Hold on.
Absolutely.
Well, Missy, are you looking for the abide in me, that scripture in John?
I think so.
Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's John 15:4-5. I'm not sure if that's the one you're looking for, though.
Yeah, we want to go down where he says, probably further in that passage, what God does to the fruit.
I don't know. We read it last. I can't find it.
Where he says he prunes.
Which one?
He says he prunes us.
Okay. Yes, that is right above that, I believe. I'm trying to. So the the beginning, I started at the fourth, but if you start at the first, I am, this is the NIV, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. The third verse, you are already clean because of the words. Second verse?
Right, and that's it. That is, and the fact that you're already clean because of the word. And so there is, and like I say, I didn't know if people that would do the research would find it, because it's very clear that he's going to cut off that which doesn't. But that which does, he's going to clean it up. You ever had, there's a cleaning up process where you take off things that, you know, may not grow healthy. You know, you have a very, you don't cut the fruit off, but you clean it up. And there is a reference to that cleaning, that word, as washing. You know, you may have to just, you're washing some of the scum off or whatever. And that's what he does for us. And then he later says in the next verse, read the next verse.
First being the fourth verse, dwell in me or remain in me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I was jumping translation.
No, the third verse.
The third verse, you are already clean. This is the NIV. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. And the fourth verse
right.
is remain in me.
Right. Now, and that clean and cleansing is through the word. And the word is what we are learning to, I'll just say hide in my heart. But embrace it so that it be, you know, it's not something that we hug, but it's something we've hugged so tight, it's become a part of us. So now it's inside of us. It is us. And then that's that, if you think of that gardening process, that's what happens then, which is why he's saying, you've been washed with the word. And understand that. That's the only way we could have come to him and known that we could be engrafted into the branch, that we learned that from the word. Now the word is going to start, if you will, perfecting the way we look, so that what's inside is word, and it will transform our outside. So when you think of a plant, when you think of a flower or something, and there may be maybe a spider web over it or just whatever, if you clean it off, if you rinse it, if you cleanse it, okay, you expose it to the good that it needs in order to grow and develop even the more beautiful. You know, all of these things are garden related. I am not a gardener by any means. However, in just looking at it, we can visualize that process just a little bit different, because he's going to cut off, even if I bear fruit, he's going to cut that fruit off. And I know that some things will have to fall and die, come back forth. But
Overseer, may I read those 12 verses?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
I apologize. I stepped on your sentence. I was going to ask you if I could read the 4 verses in the Amplified.
Fine, that's fine.
And this is John 15, 1 through 4. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. You are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teaching I have discussed with you. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me.
Amen. Hallelujah. Very good. And that's that imagery that we want to have produced in our thinking, so that actually, so when we view our process, so many people, they don't want to go through the process. But the process is awesome because it is such a personalized thing. It is so individual by the creator of the cosmos. He created everything, and he holds all things. He's all things. He's the ears everywhere. And yet, he takes time to dress you. And so you, that joy that has to override our circumstance. And our circumstance are horrific. I'm not saying that they aren't. They are horrific. They have so often we valid emotions as it relates to them. But what makes us strong in them is the joy and understanding of what the Word has illustrated to us, our relationship with the Almighty God. Okay, questions, comments, input?
So therefore, Overseer, if I understand what you're saying correctly, our relationship with our situations or circumstances parallel our process with the Holy Spirit. And so our situation, circumstances, et cetera, come or are released towards us so that we can appreciate the handling of God's handling our life so that we don't resist it, but we respect and reverence it.
Absolutely. And you know what? And we rejoice in the beautification that it produces on us that draw others to God. And that's the thing. You know, we want to look good. We want to look good so God look good. It's that kind of thing. We want to be so, amazing in all of our situations so that God is brought to the forefront and he is then acknowledged and desired by other people. That was the key in the first church because they were getting head chopped off, crucified upside down, skin pulled off of them, and just horrific, not just killing. They were tortured. And yet, it grew. Can you imagine seeing all that torture and saying, ooh, I want to be a part of that? I don't think nobody on the phone would say yes. Okay? However, it's because we didn't see it. Because if we had seen it, if we had actually seen it, I believe that the love that caused it to happen, we would also have seen, and we cannot resist kind of perfect love. We were created to be engulfed in that kind of love, and I think that that's what it shows. That's what it would reveal, and that's what it would. It would point to. So, yes, so the process is not, oh, I'm in the process. Hey, you know what? It's like, I'm going to the king today. I don't know what he's going to do, but I'm with the king. It's going to be all good. He's all good in the hood, okay? Yes.
Oh, let's see.
Yes.
Yes. Will that the pruning, will that be similar to the circumcision when we cut off things as well?
Well, I think that, you know, when he circumcised our hearts, that's a different area because, remember, he's doing this in the garden so we are shown forth beautiful. That he's doing in our hearts so that we can be beautiful. You see what I'm saying? So that's something that is a sin that he's taking out of us. I think pruning is what you want to call it, an immaturity that he has to grow up in us. It's a stage in the development of the flower, of the plant. Whereas when we get our heart circumcised, okay, we're going from a heart of flesh to one of spirit, rock to one of flesh that is positive. And so that's a cutting away for real. Yeah, that's cut your hand off if it offends God, going to heaven without it. Yeah, definitely. That's more on the I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live side of it.
Okay.
This is
thank
more
you for explaining.
Yes, yes. And so, and you know what? And that's a good question because we want to know the difference. It's important. One of the sections in the back of our discipline handbook is what season, what do you call it? Season, stage, age, or something. And that's very important for us to know and to know the difference because we'll respond differently to it as we should. And so we do want to, I think it would be a good idea to look at that. It says season, stages, ages, and transforming. So those are different things that are happening, and it's good to know if you're aging or if you're transforming because that's different. And so these are all elements in our spiritual growth and development that we will view differently if we're the more understanding we have of what they are going to bring about in our life. So it's one thing to bring about more fruit to honor God so that we draw one another, and it's quite another to get my heart circumcised from hatred and bitterness. You know, that one is keeping me from hell, and the other is just allowing me to bring glory to God. And so that's the kind of thing that we need to understand. And I don't want anybody to think we're not going to do our homework. So let's start with our one another. And the one that you had trouble with, we want to look at the fruit that it relates to. So who would like to start? We'll start with Elder Roberta.
agree with one another. I'm not always apt to agree with folks. So it says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought.
Now, what fruit does this one another relate to you?
The fruit.
Yeah.
Well, I think one is,
Go ahead.
I need to look at the fruit. Maybe, one of them is being patient with, I guess, another.
I think there's
not
a better one.
Being, not allowing yourself to be provoked to anger.
Now there's three other people that picked that same one. What do you say?
let's see. And then,
okay, who else picked that one?
being gentle with the person, not, you know, you may not agree with them, but then you don't have to become offensive or angry or, you know, I'm not sure what I should do. Since I don't agree with them. One thing is don't become, let yourself become angry because we don't agree.
Okay, now, and I understand you're saying, don't, because this is one of mine. So no one else wants to own up to it, but I know you're out there, and I know this is true. Well, but one of the things that it's saying here is that so there's no division among you. So what that is telling me, what it spoke to me was, then this is a fruit of peace. So we have to find a common ground. It is our peacemaker. That's our job, to find a common ground so that there's no division. And then as long as fellowship remains intact, whatever healing needs to happen will come forth without, you know, this, without getting angry or any of that. Because it's one thing that I'm not going to get angry. No, well, what are you going to do? You know, seek peace. How do you seek peace? By being perfectly united in mind. And so, and that's the part that got to me. It's like, well, I don't want to think the way they think. And it's like, find a common ground. Because there are some things that you do think that's the same. And that's where you stand. You stand there. You don't stand on the place where you don't agree. You stand on the place where you agree. And then as you stand there, Holy Spirit will give whatever needs to happen and us wisdom, how to do it and how to go and that sort of thing. And so I looked at that as peace. I can definitely see it as patience, except for the fact that it says so that there be no division. So patience often means to stand back and wait, whereas peace and peacemaking is an aggressive activity. It's something you have to actively involve yourself in, and that consumes whatever that the anger of that disagreement might bring up, and that will bring us into a harmony of mind and of thought. So anybody else? Did you have another one, Elder? Roberta?
I did. Grumble.
Okay.
Do not grumble against one another so that you may not be judged.
Okay.
See, the judge is standing at the doors. What fruit?
So what fruit? That was a hard one. And yet we got four of the people out there that had it.
Grumble. Well, you have to love that individual, and you have to be long suffering with them.
Okay.
And again, like you said, you have to. Well, I think when I think of grumble against is sometimes, you know, if you're working alongside or working together with someone and things might not be going the way you wanted to, or you may not be, you know, the same, I don't know the word I'm looking for, and you might say, oh, they just not doing this the way I want, or they just not you know, we're not really coming together to get the things to, you know, the way that you think it should be. Or, you know, sometimes you get instructions differently or you hear instructions differently. So if they're not working the same way you think, then you say, I don't want to work with them because we can't work together.
That's right. Absolutely.
So, you have to try to, you know, find peace, like you say, to or, you know, come together, be long-suffering, be gentle with them, you know, temperance, takes temperance. And then it takes
well, now, I think that's interesting because now this has its fruit in peace. So two of the problems, things that you have problems with, have its root in peace. Did anybody else, all that, just about everybody had this one. So what did you feel the fruit was from this one another?
I was just stating when I was looking at grumbling against one another, I looked at it as the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. I don't know if that and then peace. Because I had to in grumbling, you know, murmuring, complaining, just in that grumbling spirit. But you have to have self-control as a fruit of the Spirit, where you learn how to pray about it versus grumble about it and keep your, you know, not judging, but keep your opinion or whatever to yourself. So
good. That's good.
Yeah.
No. That's great.
My fruit of the spirit that mine was connected to, I believe, was kindness and gentleness.
Okay. Wow.
So if the fruit inspector was coming, I would be definitely have an issue in those areas.
Okay.
Kindness and gentleness. I have to further reflect if it is related to goodness.
Okay. All right. Okay. Anybody else?
Over here, I looked at, you know, I was just thinking of peace, the fruit that we were speaking about today. I don't actually recall what I said because on any given day, all of these kind of jump out. So, but when I'm looking at peace, I thought about the being hospitable without grumbling, agreeing with one another, especially when it said, and accepting one another, because the beginning of that passage that Calhoun talks about is saying, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters, and then it goes on. But I know sometimes, you know, just being able to just let it go, just accepting that, you know, we do things differently, you know, and being able, like you said, to stand on the things that we agree on. So I thought peace because I thought the accepting one another, agreeing with one another were issues that I, you know, was having, and being hospitable without grumbling, you know, even just no eating, you know, just those things need to be cultivated more. And I know that speaks to, you know, some other issues, you know, maybe not necessarily in the one another that prevent having those healthy relationships, you know, being able to take one for the team and take it genuinely, not taking one for the team and thinking about it, because obviously you're not really taking one for the team if you're considering it. You know, it kind of cancels that out.
Yes, yes. Now, for me, and that was one of mine, the fruit was faithfulness. And the reason was because in the Philip Keller book, under faithfulness, this is what he says as it relates to comparing them to 1 Corinthians 13. Under faithfulness, love thinks no evil, but has faith in God and in others. And so if I'm grumbling, I'm, first of all, not having faith that God can change them. I'm judging. I've decided I'm God, and that thinking evil. So I thought what they did to be wrong. And so faithfulness means, for me, and that's what this question, that was what it touched in me, was, or this, the other, one another, was to think no evil. Don't always jump to a negative conclusion about a thing, a person, or a situation, but rather think positive, and that may even be connected to that, you know, find common ground, but to think positive, and to have faith, and I know we say, you know, we don't have faith in people, and I understand that, but have faith in the God of those people. Because if he's your God, you know how hard he works with an individual. He works very hard with us. And so it's a faithfulness. That was the fruit that it, or that was the fruit that it represented to me because of the 1 Corinthians correlation between fruitfulness and thinking no evil, but having faith in God and in others. Because if I'm grumbling, I'm not having faith that God can change them or me, or them, or not me. But so that was my because I know we all almost had that one there. Someone have another one?
Yes. I have the one.
Just somebody get John 17, chapter 22nd verse, and then go right ahead.
I had the one, do not provoke one another, and
okay.
I really put both of them together, do not provoke and do not envy one another. And it was saying, if we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. And let us not be conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. And that was Galatians 5:20-26. And both of them had the same scripture. And when I was studying it, I said, wow, I saw that even if we, in one scripture it was saying, if we live by the Spirit, we must also walk by the Spirit, and let us not become vainglorious, provoking one another, envying one another. And it's stated, brethren, even if a man be overtaken in any trespass, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. So I looked at it, in the fruit of the Spirit be gentleness, peace, love, and self-control, bearing one another burden. And that's what I saw in that. Don't be tit for tat. I thought about the 1 Corinthians scripture in 13. Not do, somebody do to you, you do to them, try to compete better than them. But have self-control, show love and peace.
Amen. Anybody else? I hope we're seeing a pattern here. Because just like that pile of that bunch of I hope they call it a bunch of grapes. You know, what touches different things affects different things. And I'm not gonna look at a pile of grapes the same anymore. And I'm gonna be looking for these indications just because, they're wonderful ways of remembering just how contagious our emotions are, our character is, and just how powerful we are in our environment that we do change what's around us. You know, and so if there's one that is rumbling, it's probably going to affect another one that's not envying. So it's going to affect, you know, it's just going to, because they're touching and because they're all fruit that is to be, that's to dwell together. And in the dwelling together, you know, it's interesting that the ones at the top are generally the big, big, beautifully shaped ones. And the second layer is big, big, beautifully shaped. But as it goes down and down, you know, they get different. And my thought is the ones at the top are the ones that get most of the sun, and that's the S-O-N. But our fruit will be bigger the more we get of the S-O-N. Right. That's S-O-N. But of Holy Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit comes from Holy Spirit. And so we can see how those things that get the more of the presence of God, and we've acknowledged them, and it'd be interesting the things that are not a challenge for us, that we've overcome that, or that's no longer spoken among us. I don't think that anybody, well, there were a couple. I don't know that it's true, but I don't think anybody picked bear one another's burdens or care for one another. And I think we really do try to care for one another or look out for one another. I don't know about that. Speak truthfully to one another. So all of these things are, it will just be interesting to see which fruit, what do you want to say, is at the top of the bunch. And we'll find that out when we do take that fruit inspection. Hopefully we can kind of get it to individuals physically so that you can take it at some point on your own, and then we can go over it and talk about it. So, Elder Deborah, that's something for you to kind of look
at.
Yes.
I found it interesting that reading the end of the one another, the suggestions for putting the scriptural one another into practice, I found mm-hmm. that pretty interesting. Mm-hmm.
Which one did you like the best?
I don't know, but as a church family, probably the monthly based focus.
Okay.
But you probably would choose a one another. Because I don't know if people would be, I don't know how honest or how, I don't want to use honest, open. Let me use the word.
Mm-hmm.
One would be to the first one, choose one another that you want to become a hallmark of your life. Consider why this one another is important to you. Picture what practicing the one another will cost you. It could cost mm-hmm. you time, money, and a variety of self-indulgent moves and behaviors. Commit yourself to practicing the one another every day for 2 weeks. And at the end of each day, notice where you lived your one another. Where did you not live your one another? Seek grace to continue to incarnate Christ's self-donating love. At the end of 2 weeks, consider whether or not you should dedicate 2 more weeks to intentionally living your one another. Do you feel called to move on to a different one? So, that one compared to the monthly, you know, where you would encourage one another, each participant opens his or her heart to encourage others in the group. This would be a group thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that would be interesting. That would be probably.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
But we would have to be, what do you call the word that you use? I can't think of the word that you use sometimes when we kind of just be transparent.
But, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think it's a great challenge. I think it's an awesome challenge coming up in this season of the year. That we need to be more mindful. And, you know, I pray that we can come up with an agenda that will actually be contagious. I see it being in two, three different places, and let's just see what it ends up looking like. I know Elder Deborah had mentioned, you know, I don't know about that, but, you know, hey, we can try it.
Mm-hmm.
One of these put into practice.
Mm-hmm. Because like you said, sometimes when you were talking about sometimes when if you say something that you're having a problem with or a person openly, then another person that maybe have a problem, that kind of triggers, you know, it just sets off a flame.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
Yes. And I, from my observation of people, a lot of times people aren't really honest about their feelings for one another or their opinion of whatever,
right,
however you want to say it. And
right,
so they don't, the root problem or the root maybe cause of it is never really dealt with. And then you often find that it's nothing.
Right.
You know, it's
nothing.
It's not that serious.
Mm-hmm.
We're just different people.
Right.
Ways of approaching things, or different ways of seeing things, and it's not that different, you know. So
absolutely. And you know, that's a wonderful. Yes.
No, I was just gonna say that this would give the opportunity of just being transparent with one another and possibly bringing us closer to one another and understanding one another.
Absolutely. I think that it's a superb way of even assessing our own issues, if you will, when it says,
yes,
you know, what place are you more apt to be the one another, and which place are you less apt to be one another, and then looking at that place and trying to find and revealing why, because maybe there are some things that are going on that are speaking to issues that we have of ourselves and that need to be
mm-hmm.
addressed, and we weren't aware of them. I do think that's a wonderful insight, and we will look into that more. Everybody read the first application under putting the scripture one another into practice, and let's try to give the rest of the one another's a fruit, and let's see what we come up with, and then we'll go on to the next fruit, which is,
you know, because the book even mentioned about possibly something that you did or didn't receive growing up.
Uh-huh.
you know, may cause this issue. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. And that's something that we needed, whatever it is. It needs to be exposed.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect time, perfect time. So we want to do
mm-hmm.
that, and then we're going to the next route of patience. We want to make sure we give our one another's a fruit and then go to patience, and then hopefully we'll be able to do the fruit inspection next week.
Mm-hmm.
Input, insights, additions?
I just wanted to say when I read peace, and it was saying God has remarkable ways of humbling, if I can read it through the book, me in a hurry.
Sure.
He can allow the blight of events. Ma'am?
No problem. Go ahead.
Oh, he can allow the blight of events to touch my life, my health, my home, my family, my friends, my career, my finances, my achievements, and bring them all down to dust. But it is the humble person, the lowly person who finally finds rest and repose. And then it says that we come to a place where we ask him to, you know, not do these to relent. Where as this process goes on in our lives, there is often a tendency for us to ask God to relent. And I know sometimes things happen a lot, or you say, okay, Lord, you know, how much more? You know, really? Really?
I just went
through this, and you know, here comes something else. You know, how much more can I take, or how much more,
right.
Lord, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my mind just always goes back to things that I've gone through, which I still haven't quite come to, I guess,
mm-hmm.
a real understanding of why he allowed me to go through the, well, sometimes I say, well, maybe, but I don't know if I've really come to the full understanding of why me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Although,
I hear you.
Some people say, well, why not you? Yeah. But, and that is death, because I have experienced death in every area. And so in reading this, you know, it just came to mind. And but yet, I believe he gave me the peace to go through it, because I always say, if it wasn't for Christ in my life, I believe I would have been in a mental institution.
Right.
Because of the death that I've encountered, and they begin at an early age. So, this was a very good piece, you know, that I read for me. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. That's a wonderful testimony. And I believe that will draw people, because it's in an area, you know, as I had mentioned to Elder, that, you know, I didn't know we would take up so much time with the idea of a funeral. And yet we did, because it is an area that touches people very profoundly. And as ministers and leaders, we do need to understand some of the nuances of what happens in people's lives and how we can be a blessing. And so someone who has a peace during that type of a life event is definitely a blessing to the kingdom, because it displays what God will do when you allow him to be the gardener. So if there are any more insights, inputs, dialoguing, We actually have taken up our whole 90 minutes, but very delightfully so. I've so enjoyed the interaction and the dialoguing, the study, the insights that come from the perspectives of different leaders. It is a blessing. I pray that God will bless you and continue to anoint you in your office of elevation for those that are anew and for those that have been running to run without fainting. We thank God for the awesome leadership of the Apostle Dr. Shawnette Houghton that not only gives us opportunity, mm-hmm. but joins us in that opportunity. That is a great honor, and we do appreciate her input and her presence. And so we thank you all. And if there are no more questions, comments, inputs, insights, I think Block Talk is going to cut us off. Okay. Well, everybody, do enjoy the Lord. And remember, he really did make this day and then allow us to participate in it. And that is no small thing.
Yeah.
People are dying by the hundreds. And it is nothing that we have done that causes us to be able to enjoy this day in the kind of peace that we do have in the areas that we live in. And so we do thank God for that. And we do want to just praise and rejoice in him and pray for those who are in need of such a peace as we have. And so rejoice in the Lord and be exceedingly glad because he rewards us daily. And we are grateful for him presiding over our lives on the thrones of our hearts. So hallelujah. Thank you for sharing and helping me be a better person. Okay, talk with you.
Amen. Be blessed. Amen. Bye-bye.